First, though, in 1935, a British magazine called The Nursery World published this letter from a reader.
Can any mother help me? I live a very lonely life as I have no near neighbours. I cannot afford to buy a wireless. I adore reading, but with no library, I'm very limited with books. Can any reader suggest an occupation that will intrigue me and exclude thinking and cost nothing? A hard problem, I admit.
But not, it transpired, an insuperable problem. That letter provoked a great many replies, and before long the women involved decided that they'd so many problems, solutions, stories and ideas to exchange that they'd form a cooperative correspondence club, or CCC. How the club worked was that every fortnight the women wrote an article about whatever was on their mind, from politics, religion and literature, through to children, husbands, even love affairs, and sent it off under their pseudonym, they all used a pen name, to the appointed editor. This member of the club would stitch the articles together and send the resulting magazine to the first name on her list. When that member had read it, and perhaps added comments in the margin, she sent it to the next on the list, so that the magazine grew ever richer and more detailed. After an amazing 55 years of shared secret supports and laughter, the CCC did dwindle to an end, and might have disappeared altogether had it not been rescued by a young Canadian, Jenna Bailey, who came across it while researching her master's thesis. And now, in a book called Can Any Mother Help Me?, Jenna Bailey has reprinted a selection of the club's correspondence, including such poignant contributions as that from a member known as Cotton Goods, who, even while she was dying, wrote to share the experience with her friends. When Jenna came to the BBC studios, I asked her first which of the contributions had most affected her.
One of them is the Cotton Goods piece when she's writing on her deathbed, essentially, but another one is written by Glenn Heather when she's writing about the death of her husband, Don. And he's dying of cancer. And it just shows, those pieces are very sad and very moving, and it shows how much she relied upon the friendship of the women in the magazine at the time, and how it was sort of her lifeline, and how it was the one place where she could go to for support and not feel badly about saying how difficult it was for her, instead of staying strong, which she had to do in front of her family.
Thank you so much, those of you who have written to me. I know just how you feel, whether to or not, and whatever to say. And I'm grateful from the bottom of my heart for your allowing me to share my pain with you, for I can't seem to see any hope in the future just now. All I can do is get through the present. I wish I could come and cry in each of your arms. Here I have to be constantly dry-eyed and brave for the sake of Ralph and Don, and to repay the kindness of my friends. But dear CCC doesn't call for such control.
Another piece I really like is the piece written by Yanare, which is about when she sneaks into St. John's Church in Edinburgh late at night with a drinking companion.
A male drinking companion, one should say.
And she has a bit of a tussle with the man. And Yanare is famous in the CCC and in her family for telling quite exaggerated stories. And so she always strikes me as one of the best writers in the group.
Well, one of the amazing things about that account is that the man effectively tries to rape her. I mean, I think we shouldn't beat about the bush, even though she knows him and they're both drunk and so on, but that's what he does. But I love her account of how she gets out of his embrace by smacking him around the head with her high-heeled shoe and then thinking she's murdered him. I mean, it's...
I know, it is, because it's quite a shocking piece, but in the end it's also quite funny and interesting.
He began fondling me and kissing the back of my neck and ears. At first I was just mildly irritated and concentrating on the door handle. Then I got annoyed and swung round and slapped his face. That did it. He got me jammed against the door and I very soon realised he meant business. I tried everything. Argument, scorn, anger, pleading, force. Even my old standby, release method number 3 as taught by the RHS, failed because I couldn't get a leverage because of the bloody door. I even prayed. And it may have been an answer to prayer that I discovered I could get my shoe off and use it. Well, I slipped my shoe off and socked him as hard as I could on the head. His grip loosened at once, so I socked him again, and then as I got my arm really free, again. He just slumped onto the floor and lay there. Well, what would you have done?
The women were corresponding with each other over quite a long period of time, but also amongst that was during the Second World War, which they all had quite different opinions about what war meant and what they should be doing. But it does lead to some really quite interesting and powerful writing on their part, doesn't it?
There are a few in the book, one written by Roberta, actually, in 1940, when a pilot goes down in her local village, that is quite poignant.
I looked and stared. A little mound covered with a once white parachute spattered with blood. There lies, I thought, a man who this morning had his breakfast, who slept last night, who spoke perhaps a few hours ago, and now he's no more. No more. He'll never speak again, or look, or eat, or, well, anything. He's dead. He was someone's child, someone's brother, perhaps, sweetheart, husband. This is war, I said. This is war. No, God, no, I screamed inside myself. This is wrong, wrong.
Yes, that's... I love the fact that he was ultimately buried in the local churchyard and the kids put flowers on the grave. As well as tragedy, there is a lot of comedy in the book. And one of my favourite moments is just a tiny little footnote. One of the contributors has been complaining about the problems of getting her five children up in the morning, getting them dressed, ready for school, while her husband is snoozing in bed. And another member of the club writes in a footnote next to it,
"Bad training. My husband jolly well mucks in and shares the work. After all, they are his children, as far as we know."
Yeah, well, that's Yanare, actually, who writes that comment. So, yeah, she was quite a character.
How honest do you think the women were being in these contributions to the magazine? I mean, they feel quite often as though they are saying things that they couldn't have said to anybody else, that they certainly wouldn't have said to their husbands or children. But do you think they were telling the whole truth?
I think so. I think there were women that didn't disclose everything about their lives just because that wasn't their style. But I think the letters are very honest and very, very forthcoming because the women felt very protected by the magazine and felt that it was a very secret place and a special place. And the women guarded it fiercely. They really didn't share it with their families or their husbands. So I think that as each woman protected it fiercely and they knew each other were doing the same, that they knew that they could really write quite openly. And they still exist today. I know of about 100 that are ongoing right now, but I don't think people disclose as much in the new ones as they would have needed to in the older one. It's sort of more for friendship, but I think, yes, I think it's less necessary nowadays. So they're definitely dying off. And then, obviously, there's a lot fewer people that write nowadays, so...
You'd also think that people in need of that kind of companionship outside their immediate family and their friends would go to the internet. And indeed there are, I know, a lot of chat rooms where if you've got, I don't know, like you have problems with children or domestic abuse or whatever it might be, you can communicate with like-minded people, get advice and support. But I wonder actually whether there is something about the nature of these magazines, the writing of it, the smallness of it, that makes it better in some ways than an internet chat room or support group.
I think it makes it a bit more intimate. I think there's something about receiving something that's actually written by a person that you feel a bit more connected to them. And also, I think actually some people are a little bit hesitant to meet people online still, and it does seem a bit foreign and a bit cold. So I think probably that's why it appeals to people. And I think the people that are writing are a bit older, so they're from a generation where they're not as computer savvy, I guess, as some other people might be. And I think it's quite similar now. The people that would participate in something like this nowadays are the people that participate in the sort of pen pal culture. So I don't think it's necessarily just a British phenomenon.
Jenna Bailey talking about Can Any Mother Help Me? 50 Years of Friendship Through a Secret Magazine.